The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, says, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, Hani Sakini, you have knives that are used with chametz all year round, how can those knives be kashered for Pesach? Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, L'didi Chadatok Avdinim. I actually would buy new knives for Pesach. Amalei, so Ravina said to Rav Ashi, Tenech Madal Efshalei, you who are a wealthy person have the ability to buy new knives for Pesach. However, the Loi Efshalei, someone who can't afford to buy new knives for Pesach, Mai, how can they be kashered? Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to him, you misunderstood me. I didn't mean that I actually buy new knives for Pesach. What I meant to say was that I treat my old knives like new by kashering. And he says, Ketaya Batina, I first wrap the handle of the knife with a material like lime, or parzalai benura, and then I put the blade into fire. V'hada malina l'katay b'roiskin, and then afterwards I put the handle into boiling water. So there's a very fundamental issue discussed by the Paiskim. How to learn pshat in this Gemara. Did Rav Ashi indeed mean to say, even in the maskana of the Gemara, that it's preferable to get new kelim for Pesach and avoid kashering? Or do Rav Ashi mean to say that I too can't just afford to buy new kelim for Pesach and I go through a kashering process on my kelim, on my knives for Pesach? But I certainly agree, says Rav Ashi, that what's preferable is to buy new kelim. So the Taz, in Orech Chaim, Simen Tuf Nun Aleph, Sif Katan Hey, says L'chatchila, based on this Gemara, the right thing to do is to buy new knives for Yontif. And anybody who could afford to buy new kelim for Pesach, that's what they should do. And then the Taz goes on to say, and we'll appreciate what the Taz says more as we get into the halachas of kashering. The Taz says, if you have an option to either do libun, even where libun is not required, or hagolah, says the Taz, do libun. Because as we're going to learn, libun is a much stronger and effective means for kashering. If that doesn't work, then do Hagola where Hagola is adequate. The Magen Avraham learns different Pshat in the Gemara. The Magen Avraham learns Pshat in the Gemara. So according to this Pshat, Rav Ashi agreed that the preferable thing to do is buy new kelim. The Magen Avraham, just if it's not possible, kasher. The Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Magen Avraham says that the Rav Ashi meant to say that kashering is just as good as buying new kelim. And therefore, you could kasher without even l'chatchila. There are a third pshat in the Mefarshim that want to say the following. We're going to hopefully learn, as we learn pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's enough to boil under certain circumstances to do Hagola. Even though the keli that's under discussion may be a keli that is sometimes used without liquid where libun is required. And what the halachas is, and we paskin, that we go after Roiv Tashmishon. We look at what is the keli used for most. If it's used for most with liquid, even though at times and may be used without liquid, then Hagolah is should be done. Then, say the Paiskim, where we really perhaps should consider doing Libun, Hagolah is inadequate, and we should avoid it. But in a case where Keli, a pot in which we boil, it's never used for frying, it's always used with liquid, Hagolah can be done with Chatchila. The Sefer Yisoy B'Sherish Avoida and Hilchas Hagolas Kalim says, B'yoyset Tzorch Lazaris U Lizhor Kol Ayored V'chored L'dvar Hashem. Anybody who's concerned that he wants to fulfill the mitzvahs properly, Shlo Yishtamish B'Pesach B'Kalim Sh'Nishtamish B'Mchometz Kol Hashana Niskashra Yidei Hagolah. L'chatchila says the Sefer Yisoy B'Sherish Avoida, one should not rely on kashering. He built the efsher. It's impossible, he says, lenakram hetev, to properly clean them out, bestokim aktanim shebehem, in their small cracks, shlo yishar behem mashu chametz, that they shouldn't have a drop of chametz left over. He says, therefore, v'yoyis etoiv lech v'peisa b'karas uv'dilkoish shel kli cheres chadoshim, it's better, he says, to buy for Pesach, if a person can't afford it, cheap, inferior utensils versus kashering kalim. Again, the Paiskim don't want to say that he's specifically speaking about a situation where it's difficult to clean the keli. But in a situation where that difficulty doesn't exist, it could be that he would agree that you don't have to kasher the cat. Kashering is fine. The Tfu Shemesh says, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, that we discussed, why is a bracha not recited when we kasher kalim? And the answer was because you don't have to kasher kalim, you could get new kalim. And if we're going to say that Hagolah is only said to people who can't get new kalim, so now let's think about it. We said that why don't we make a bracha on Hagolah? Because you could avoid the Hagolah. But now we're learning that who do we do Hagolah for? Only for that individual who can't avoid the Hagolah, because he can't afford buying new kalim. So according to that, a bracha ought to be said. There are those that want to differentiate between kalim for Pesach, where the Torah specifically says v'shemartem es hamatzos. There, where the Torah used the word v'shemartem, that we just like we find the Torah says v'shemartem es mishmarti, and we know pshat is asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. So by Pesach, we have to be stricter, and therefore we should not rely on kashering kalim. Whereas for all other situations, kashering can be done lechatchila. As we speak about kashering kalim, we need to identify, as we begin now speaking about specifically kashering kalim for Pesach, when is kashering required, and when are there situations that everybody will agree that kashering is not required. We know, as we've discussed, there's a difference of menhagim between Sfardim and Ashkenazim regarding eating kidneys on Pesach. So the Paiskim say, let's say you're from Minig Ashkenaz and you don't eat kidneys on Pesach, but you have to prepare in your home kidneys. This question particularly comes up with children who have to eat, who have formula. And most formulas are kidneys. The halacha is that even if you used a keli to warm up or cook kidneys in them, the halacha is that keli is not considered non-kosher, and you could use the keli even for adults who aren't eating kidneys. The minig is that we don't, that we try to have a separate keli in the home for the children or for those who need to eat kidneys. But b'di'evid, certainly the Paiskim say you could rely on not cashering, on using that keli. And everybody seems to agree that if the keli that was used for kidneys is not used for 24 hours, so now whatever time in that keli, as we keep on discussing, is a nois and tam l'pgam. And since it's nois and tam l'pgam, even though, as we know, we kasher kalim even when the tam is a nois and tam l'pgam, we don't need to, the Paiskim say, we need not kasher the kalim under this situation when the entire blia is just kidneys. And therefore, the Paiskim also say, that let's say you don't eat kidneys, but you're a guest at the home of somebody who does eat kidneys. So even though you don't want to eat the kidneys food, there are paiskim, many paiskim that say you could eat food that's not kidneys that was cooked in that person's kalim. There are also many people, or certainly a significant population, who don't eat gebroks. Gebroks, or as in Lashon Kodesh it's called, is matzah shruya, that is, they're careful not to have matzah come in contact with water. And the reason is because they're concerned that there may be a drop of grain, a flour, left on the matzah that wasn't properly baked. And if that flour comes into contact with water, chas v'sholem, you could end up with chametz gomer. There's those that are machmer not to use kalim that were gebrocked. That means, let's say you have at home matzah fell into your soup bowl, matzah fell into your pot. There are people that are machmer if they have the minig gebrocks not to use the kalim. But there are others, but even those that are machmer, the minig in most communities is that by next year Pesach, they use the keli even if it wasn't kashered, even though it isn't a full 12 months from when it was used. Because let's say this event happened towards the end of Yom Pesach. So from the end of Pesach this year to the beginning of Pesach next year, unless it's a leap year, we don't have 12 months. Or, as is the minig, even people who don't eat gebroks on Pesach do eat gebroks on Achron Shel Pesach. Now, from Achron Shel Pesach till next year Pesach, and we usually start cooking for Pesach, not specifically on Yontif, we start cooking already before Yontif, and yet we don't kasher the keli. On the other hand, because there are people that are machmer, as we just said, on the kalim of gebroks, those people wash their kalim on Yontif, even right at the end of the meal, even on Shabbos, where normally we know that after you finish your meal by day on Shabbos, unless you have a specific need for those kalim, we don't wash the dishes on Shabbos until Matzoi Shabbos. Here, since you're washing the dishes to get off the gebroks, we can be more lenient. I did see from the Mikroi Kodesh, Chelik Beis Simen Tezvov, that even if somebody has a chumrah, that he doesn't use kalim that were used for gebroks, that's only if it's a pat or a supo, where you have actual liquid coming in contact with the matzah. But let's say it's a frying pan. There's no real liquid coming in contact with the matzah, and we could use that keli, and we don't have to put it away for next year. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that even a person who has a minig not to eat on Pesach only matzah shmura, a keli that was used for non-matzah shmura, many paiskim say that keli doesn't become non-kosher and doesn't require kashering. Or again, similar to what we discussed a couple of minutes ago, if one is a guest in the home of someone who doesn't eat matzah shmura and he uses his kelim for non-matzah shmura ingredients, he should be careful to eat matzah shmura, but he doesn't necessarily have to be makbid on the kelim. There's a very common issue which the Mishnah Berurah here in Simen Tov Nun Aleph Sif Kotten Zayin discusses. The Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh noyagim l'sad the kelim shall come at b'toich habayis b'goyva akosel. The question is, chomtz the kelim, what to do with them on Pesach? So the Mishnah Berurah says that people should take their chomtz the kelim and put them b'goyva akosel on top, b'mokum shein yad odem magas l'shom, where it's not easily reached. In other words, they have very nice chumstiga dishes, very nice chumstiga silver that they didn't kasher, or sometimes you can't even kasher, but they want to leave them out because they're very pretty. It says as long as you put them in a place where they're not easily reached, it's fine. But the Mishnah Berurah concludes, he says that one should cover up any chametz diga kelim. But the paiskim say, even that those that take this more strict approach, that's only regarding kli chametz on Pesach. But let's say you have very nice Pesach diga kelim that you want to leave out. The question is, may you leave them out or not? So Paiskim take a much more lenient approach. The Taz says that Keli Pesach, the Taz here in Sifkotan Aleph, could be left in a difficult, in a non-accessible place and all year round. Because he says, even if you'll come to use those Kalim with Chametz, by the time Pesach comes around, there'll be an Eina Ben Yoyma. As we keep on repeating, when it's Eina Ben Yoyma, the need to kasher, specifically for Pesach, is only a chumrah. Furthermore, I saw that the Yad Ephraim, in explaining this task, says as follows. If it's Pesach, and you have a kli chametz, we need to be concerned you may take that keli and use it. When we have a Pesach keli, however, during the rest of the year, it involves forgetting twice. First, you're going to forget that you're going to use your Pesach to Gekeli for Chomtz to purposes during the year. And then, you're also going to forget that you need to kasher before you use this Keli for Pesach. So says the Yad Ephraim, even those that are Machmer, are only Machmer that I may forget once. That I'm going to forget twice is much more unlikely, and we need not to be concerned. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, what about putting many people have silver matzah plate, seder plate, or silver karis, and they're very beautiful. Can they be left in the break front all year round? So I saw that the Paiskim are much more lenient since they're not used typically with heat. Nobody's going to use their silver matzah plate to cook on or to use as a bowl or as a plate. And therefore, particularly if they're left in a place where it's not easily accessible with chametz. Furthermore, if it's obvious that it's a Pesach keli, usually they have all the simonim of the korah on these korahs, we need not be concerned. And we could certainly be more lenient in keeping that seder plate in your break front, in your china closet, together with your chametz digi kelim all year round.